The RPG After Years is part of the We Can Make This Work Probably Network. Find out more at probablywork.com.
Hey folks, my name is Brett and I'm one of the hosts of Skeleton House, an audio-only Let's Play podcast where my two friends Jess...
What is happening? Oh my god!
...and Steve...
Even he looks spooked.
...play through video games and I edit them, add context, and act as your eyeballs. Also, we have a cat. Come check us out at skeletonhouse.budsprout.com or look up Skeleton House on your favorite podcast app. Or your least favorite podcast app. I'm not here to tell you how to live your life.
Oh, I love crisps. Or chips. I call chips in America. Isn't that crunch up? Beautiful. Anyway, key music.
Yes, everybody, and hello, and welcome to the RPG Years with me, your host, Bill. And this is your one-stop shop for all things RPG-related content for the past, present, and future. And don't forget, tank-controlled boats. Yes. It's the long overdue episode for segment whatever it is of Breath of Fire 3. I'm so sorry that I keep getting delayed. But wasn't last week's episode fantastic? How good was Caslow? I absolutely bloody love that. Oh, it was so nice to actually record an episode and have someone to do it with. It's such a... it's so refreshing. I love it. It's been 20, that's 24th episode, and I've had like people on to do reviews and stuff, but just to do a casual episode and to talk to someone about something they love as well. Like Caslow is big Final Fantasy 14 player, and it was really nice to get his sort of ideas and stuff all out on the fan fest that happened. He went to in Vegas. How cool is that? You know, one thing we didn't discuss on the podcast about Caslow's now got a big Mike Tyson tattoo over his face, and he got into and he's now got a pet tiger at his home, which his wife's not too pleased about, especially with a small baby running around. But yeah, anyway, really nice having Caslow on the show. Really, really thoroughly enjoyed that. So yes, today's episode is going to be Up Until We Reach the Colony. Damn it, I am behind. People are finishing the game. It's embarrassing. But don't worry, I'm going to catch up, I'm going to get these episodes out, and then I can focus on whatever's going to be the next RPG Club. I've still got reviews to do as well. Yes, lovely, lovely reviews. So, let's just get this out here, right, okay? It's the school holidays. Basically, the whole of August in the UK, the kids are not on holiday. The kids are not in school, right? So that means us as parents, we're double busy. My job is absolutely crazy at the moment, busy. There's lots and lots of things going on, which is all eyes are on me, and I'm doing a fantastic job. Don't have to worry about that. I'm smashing my job. I'm a very good at what I do. do I want to reveal too much? Do I? No, I work in IT. I do desktop engineering at a very senior level, and I'm very good at it. I like to think so anyway. But yes, I love my job. Absolutely love it. Smashing it, but damn, it is crushingly busy at the moment. That mixed with the fact I've got two kids to entertain all day, every day. It's just like, yeah. And so I've been taking, you know, I'm not complaining. I've had a really lovely, lovely summer holiday so far. And yeah, and you know, I found out as well from the Americans that I work with at my firm, their kids are off for like 2 months, way longer than what our kids are off. Our kids get more break. Kids in the UK get more breaks during the year. You know, they get a couple of weeks off for various half terms, quarter terms, full terms, and sometimes they get 2 weeks off for things as well, like almost 3 weeks over Christmas. So yeah, so it kind of works out the same, but they just have all theirs in the summer, which I found crazy. But yeah, I've been having a lovely time. I've been taking pretty much every Thursday off work so far, and we've been going to various different places in the UK. We went to Whitstable, which was absolutely gorgeous. Really, really surprised. It's basically on the other side of the river from where I live. So I wasn't expecting it to be much more than what I've already got. But it was. It was really, really good. It was such calm water, and the general populace of the area was much more pleasant than where I live as well. I won't get too deep into that. But yeah, really loved that. And then we went to Cambridge just the other day, yesterday. And that was beautiful as well. There's like a big Lido outside, and the girls played in there for ages, really sort of got themselves worn out, and then we had a good walk around the botanical gardens. Just beautiful. Cambridge is a lovely, lovely, lovely place. And yeah, so you know, we're trying to make the most of the holidays, but unfortunately it does mean my podcasting stuff kind of steps down a couple of levels in my priorities, which I feel really bad about sometimes as well, especially when I'm really, really busy at work. I'm just like, oh, I could really do without the podcast. But don't fear, I will never give this up, okay? This is my hobby. And I know within like 2 months of not doing, if I quit this, I'd be like, within 2 months, I'd be like, what other podcasting can I do? Can I get back into it? I've got a moment spare. And it's like, nah, this is like my, you know, it's my hobby. It's my hobby. It's a passion of mine. I absolutely love it. It's like two things I like doing. I really enjoy podcasting, you know? People will know that about me because I have a lot of podcasts, and I've started a lot of podcasts. Some of them are still being run by other people, which is great. Thank you, Eric. You're the man, Eric. Super Switch Club. By the way, if you haven't listened to the Super Switch Club yet, you should. It is amazing. And I'm not saying that just because I started it. Like, I started it because I stole an idea from Troy, and then I just applied it to computer games. And then it kind of developed into its own thing. But it's kind of something that's grown organically by itself, and I just absolutely love it. And yeah, myself, Frost, Caslow's on there too. Scott, if you're missing Scott, Scott's always contributing for the Super Switch Club. And who else? Frost, JS, just loads and loads of people. You know, Skelly from Skelly and House Podcast. Oh, yes. He's always on there as well. Douglas Gale from Game Pass. Like, you know, there's just so many people on there. And it is great. It's such a good, fun show to listen to. I absolutely love it. There should be a Streets of Rage episode coming out soon. Streets of Rage 2, by the way. Best game ever made. And don't take that with a pinch of salt. And yeah, fantastic, fantastic show. But I would never give up on this project. I want to get through these RPGs, same as you do. So we are here together forever. Forever. You're left with me. Anyway, I think I've gone quite a tangent there, and I can't really remember where I am. So anyway, I haven't really got many updates.
I need a saga.
Don't forget, $700 saga. I think Ben from Dragoon Effect is now the closest person to the end of that game. No one's finished it yet. We've had a lot of people get to get the first rune. I think we're up to 9 people. So we've ripped out of Frost's wallet $90 so far to donate to charity. And if Ben is the first to finish, then his $10 that he's earned so far will become $70. So, you know, and then again, Frost is going to pay for it all. I'm going to pay for a bit as well, but mostly Frost. So let's punish Frost and make him pay as much money as possible for nominating the 7th Saga and bringing that into our lives. Also, I keep saying it's a fun game. You know, I really want to get back into it. I'm kind of saving myself a Breath of Fire 3 at the moment. But yeah, really want to get back into it, but really, really good. Anyway, other than that, still, yeah, my sister's PlayStation 3, you'll be pleased to know, is still under my desk gathering dust and not playing Final Fantasy 16. I will hopefully as well squeeze out some time to get around to that eventually. I think that's about it, really. Next week, I hope to announce the schedule for Skies of Arcadia Club, hopefully. I pray I'll have that ready. I really need to add another segment, but I can't. Like, I've got a nice segmented look at the game so far. But I feel like from what I've seen, I'm going to need another one. You know, we had to add one in for Breath of Fire 3, don't forget. And I really feel like this needs an extra one, but I can't seem to just kind of work it out in my head where I'm supposed to, you know, steal some time from and add it to another. So hopefully the VIP club for Skies of Arcadia, hopefully I'll announce that next week. You know, pinch of salt, people, pinch of salt. Anyway, oh yeah, that's what the reason why I was talking about the delays. So essentially, sorry, backtracking a bit here. Essentially, what I aim to do now, I know I've said this a few weeks back that I was going to aim for Sunday releases. I've realised that doesn't work at all for me. I'm just going for Monday releases, okay? That is my goal. But during the school holidays, you know, and especially the August school holiday where the kids are off for over a month, just expect delays, okay? I'm not going to promise you anything. I'm not going to tell you I'm going to skip episodes. I'm not going to tell you I am going to be doing an episode definitely on this day. Just expect delays, okay? I will try and get you your weekly episode out. And I will always be aiming for Monday, okay? By Monday evening at the latest. But if it doesn't happen by Monday, you will occasionally get ones come out on Wednesday like we had with the Fan Fest with Kaslow, okay? It's just going to happen. I'm just going to be honest with you guys. I can't really prioritise the podcast any more than I already do. So it's going to be just as and when during the school holidays. Outside of school holidays, I can be a little bit more reliable. A little bit. But there are quite a few school holidays. And also, the only time I will be missing an episode will be the last kind of week of September, or the first week of October, I think, because I will be on holiday. I'll be going to Greece, so I won't be around to do any podcasting. So yeah, that's it, really. Anyway, so with all that lovely ranting and raving and Bill's general bollocks out the way, let's get into it, shall we? It's time for the Breath of Fire 3, segment 5.
Welcome to the VIP lounge. You gotta be level 99 to get in here, baby. No underlevel scrubs. So why don't you go ahead and order yourself one of our finest elixirs, and one of our beautiful bunny girls will show you to your table. Kick back, relax. It's time for the RPG Club.
Yes, segment 5, people. As you may remember in the last segment, Bill walked through a volcano when he didn't have to. Last time, on the RPG Club, Bill walked through a volcano. He didn't need to talk to Deese. Deese, something like that. And yeah, she basically told us what we needed to do next, which was, she gave us, what was it, the dragon's eye or something? I remember having a joke about a Jap's eye lined up, but I didn't get round to it. Yeah, she gave us an eye or something. I remember having a joke lined up about something phallic, but I didn't get round to it. And yeah, she basically gave us the ability to point the way. And the way is pointing way, 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 way north across the sea, apparently. So we have to try and find our way across the sea. And I have to admit, I kind of got myself into a right old kerfuddle with trying to find Bide to ask him if we can use his boat, which he did. He said we could use it whenever we really want, but unfortunately, it's just stuck in Junktown. So we had to go to Junktown, and then that finally let us pass through onto the next bit to get to the boat. But the boat's broken. And it was like, moment, I was like, oh, I can fix this. I just need a bunch of parts. Okay. And so we then have to go get a letter of writ, shall we say, from the people who are like the, there's like a, really, I didn't investigate Junktown enough. There is some sort of guild that runs junk town, like the boat guild runs the other town, that is a complete monopoly on all the business and seems very gangsterous, but they seem like nice people, so we've kind of brushed over it. yeah, there's like some sort of guild where they find old machine parts and like tidy them up and sell them on. Yeah, I didn't really get that kind of whole thing of what was going on in Junktown. But essentially, because of what we're doing and Bide's connection with us, we get this writ so that we can go to Steel Beach now. So obviously that was just kind of stopping us from going there sooner. But yeah, so that was all that was there for. But yeah, we get the writ. We can now go to Steel Beach and we have a fun mini game, do we? Is it fun? Is this fun? Having to drag pieces of machinery out of the water using ropes, but you have to do it together when the monkey's holding the flag up and down. Oh, I was... This is one of the most tenuous mini games I think I've ever played. You know, the one in Grandia. Grandia hasn't got many mini games, but there's the one where you're on the boat and you have to wash the deck, and like you have to wash the deck while Sue's trying to wash the deck and she gets worn out. That mini game's awful, right? But it's not bad and it makes sense in conjunction with the story. And this kind of makes sense. Like, oh yeah, we drag out pieces of junk from the ocean and then you might find your parts in there. But Gar has to help has to impress the foreman with his skills of pulling it out. But this whole thing of just like the monkey holding up the white flag, and that's when you can push your X button with the red flag, and you push the X button really quickly to draw it in. But you've then got like a meter gauge at the top and you can't get too many meters ahead or behind of the guy you're working with. And then when the monkey puts it down, the other guy does it. I mean, why wouldn't you just do it together at the same time? Go, this was just a weird, weird minigame. And you don't even bloody pull out any machinery. You pull out a gigantic mutant, which you then have to fight and kill. And it's just like this weird, like, yellow thing with, like, red fins and fangs all over it. It was just weird. Just bloody weird. I hated it. I probably lost the minigame about 7 times. I just started save scumming my way through it. I was just like, nope. This is a pain in the neck. I'm not doing this. This will take me like ages to get right, and then it just won't be worth it. And I was fucking right. It wasn't worth it. Bloody dragged out a boss. Anyway, it's fucking Bone Dart as well. Oh, Bone Dart, man. I hate that. It just confuses the character. Anyway, me, Gar, and who's I running with? I think it's Pico. Me, Gar, Pico. Running around, and yeah, we killed this boss. I don't remember really killing it. It didn't give me any problems. None of the bosses in this segment have caused me any issues whatsoever. This is like, I feel like the game's got into easy mode now and I'm just sort of flying through it, but yeah, we'll see if that continues. Yeah, most of the time it's just like, yeah, turn right you into a fire dragon, he'll kill it. Yeah, so after I defeated this boss, suddenly all these parts appear. So maybe we did do some good. Maybe all these parts were inside the boss. We killed it and then it was left on this beach for a couple of days. And then it exploded like a giant whale and whale blubber flew everywhere. And all these parts that it had eaten suddenly ended up all over the beach. That seems like the most reasonable explanation. And I'm sure you can all agree. So all these parts, right? They're fairly obvious. You know, sometimes you have to move the camera around to see them. And I thought, I'd seen a lot of chatter on the Discord about people being like, I just can't find one part I can't find. And it was just like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to find all these parts on my first go, right? So scoured the beach, found loads of stuff, right? And then you can go inside the tanker, is it, or something? Or the freighter? Is it a freighter? Yeah, I think it's the freighter. There's like a big freighter thing full of stuff, and you can push some levers to move some platforms up and down in order to access previously inaccessible areas. For some reason, in the one hallway where you enter the tanker, you can get into random encounters with the little sort of arrow guys. But other than that, there aren't any random encounters. You kind of think to yourself, why put them in here at all? But anyway, I digress. But yeah, I had quite a bit of fun with this. Like, I liked this kind of puzzle of having to move parts of the environment around in order so that you can unlock different, slightly different areas so you can get up and get the different parts. And I was like, I scoured everything. I found a secret little box hidden right round the back. I found one that was like hidden behind one of the big pistons that lift this steel girders up and down so you can get some of the other areas. One of them was hidden nicely behind a switch. And I was like, yeah, I've got this. There's nothing else here, right? I've got my little robe of the wind, which I just found. And yeah, I was pretty pleased with myself. So I went back to Momo. She's like, hey, you missed one. It's like, you fucking what? I've missed one. What have I fucking missed? It was like part H or something. It's like, what are you on about, love? I've picked up everything. Everything. I did it all. Oh, I went back. I couldn't find it. I went back again. I couldn't find it. I was just like, oh, man, how has this happened? I was so confident in myself. I've managed to cheese so many of these bits that people have been saying are really difficult or they're like really awkward. Like with kicking that rock into that bloody greenhouse. I did it on my second try, people. I couldn't find the part. I couldn't find it. Oh, I had to go to bloody YouTube, all right? I even looked at a fucking guide and I couldn't figure out which part I'd missed. So I went on YouTube and it just watched it. As someone like speed run through picking up these parts, going, I was like, okay, I've got that one. And it was just like, shit. As soon as you walk in to the freighter or the tanker, there's like one that's along the bottom wall, but you can't see it. And despite the fact, I think I picked up, like, there is one as you walk in on the floor, and I think I picked it up. It's just, like, 2 feet up from there, but you just can't, it's just slightly out of view. I missed it. I missed that little bastard sitting there. Anyway, I got it back. Momo fixes the boat. We get to sail back, and I think at that, we bump into, like, a black ship on the way back to the port town. And then you have to talk to Bayard again in order for him to sort of let you have control of the boat, basically. And then other than that, Zig is the one who's like, I'm the best sailor here. And they're like, yeah, fair enough. He's a massive dick, but he is the best sailor here. So we'll let him give you the boat and he'll see if he can get you across the Black Sea. And he's just like, yeah, you guys are fucking bonkers. But if anyone can do it, it's me, because I'm bonkers too. It's like one of those moments. I don't really like Zig's character, I'll be honest with you. But we tried to go out into the deeper waters. It's too rough. Zigzag, it's too much, and he comes back. And then, because at this point you can control the tank, and the boat, and guess what? I've already spoiled it. It's tank-controlled boats. I don't have a problem with this, all right, people? I played a lot of Resident Evil when I was younger. I played Alone in the Dark, the remake one, whatever it fucking was, on the PlayStation 1. Tank controls are something I can deal with quite happily. So I didn't have too much problem navigating the boat around. But then you have to go on a mission to find the legendary Mariner. And I will admit, I struggled first of all finding out where he was supposed to be. So you can go to this little town called Parch, and they give you some clues. And apparently he's living on a rock somewhere outside. No, I forgot. I forgot, people. I'm getting ahead of myself. I forgot we had to make fucking sushi for the mayor. Oh, my word. Oh. I complained about this very virulently on the Discord. I got the clues, okay? I read it. I vaguely understood it. If I tried a bit harder, maybe I would have got this, but the mayor in the town of Parch is the one who kind of is supposed to know where the Mariner is, the legendary Mariner or something like that. He's supposed to give us some he's the one who can give us the information we want. But he's like sitting on the floor complaining about how terrible the food is, and that's all he'll do. And everyone's like, yeah, he's gone a bit mad. He can't take the food. He doesn't like eating our fish. It's just like, you're a fucking fishing town. This is your mayor. And he's just on the floor mumbling to himself about how much he hates the food. Like, sack that fucker. Get someone in who's going to deal with the taxes properly. Otherwise, you end up with a fucking McNeil situation, aren't you? God, this place, man. It's fucking run by idiots. Every single place is run by idiots in this game. Yeah. Oh, but, I mean, we're given the clues that he comes from somewhere in Windia. you know, I think they said the river by Windy or something, and I thought he would be in like a section of the map. And yeah, someone mentions about maybe making some sushi. It really, I just didn't get the connection. I just didn't get it. I went and had a look around one area of Windia. I was in the wrong area. I was kind of looking where the cafe is, you know, where Momo's tower is. But no, you had to go back to where you fought Baelio and Sunder for the last time. There is a house underneath the bridge in that area, which has a painter and a fucking sushi chef. And the sushi chef will teach you how to make sushi as long as you go and get the parts. So then you have to go and fish for some mackerel. You have to go get some seeds from the tree behind you. And then the most obscure of all is getting the vinegar from the cafe, but it's in a well, and there's a guy there who then gives you a mini game to get water out of the well, so he will give you some vinegar. And the mini game's audio based as well. I'm sitting there in my kid's bedroom waiting for him to fall asleep, trying to sneakily play the game, and I'm playing a mini game with audio cues, and it's just like, I've got my sound off. How am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to do this now? It's just like, oh my god, this was like, I used a guide. Like, I did. I used a guide to get me through this section. I was very fortunate that at whatever point I had to get horseradish, I had already picked it up. I think that was back where we fought fucking Rise of Werewolf, wasn't it? Was that where the horseradish was? I can't remember. But I remember I just picked up a load. And I ended up going through the area twice for some reason at the time. And so I picked up a load on my second run through. So I was fine for horseradish, all right? But yeah, the vinegar, oh, with the whale mini puzzle. Like, that took me like a good couple of goes. I had to wait until I was in a place where I could actually hear it to do it. But yeah, and the shally seeds as well was easy enough because it was just in the tree behind the building. You know, you just have to run it with Pecco and they'll all fall down. And then yeah, mackerel, you know, I love a bit of fishing. I didn't have any mackerel in my inventory, but I did go and get some. And then she basically teaches you how to roll it. And she says, like, you know, if you've got a big bit of mackerel, you know, you have to do shally seeds that sort of match it. Or then you have to do a little dash of vinegar. And then you have to balance it out. And she says, here's a little tip that my nan gave me. Always knead twice. Okay? And that was very important. And then when you go back to the mayor's house and you've got all the items, you then get the option to put together your concoction and cook it in front of him, and it gives you the options, and it says, do you want to knead it? And you go yes, and you go, do you want to knead it? And you go yes, and it gets really small, this little ball of rice. And yeah, I was very pleased to say, you know, I followed a guide to get the parts, but I wasn't looking at the guide when I had my first go at doing this, and I got it for the first time. The mayor loved it. Now, I didn't do particularly well at it, apparently. Because depending on how well you cook it depends on what item you get afterwards. And I got the wisdom fruit, okay, which I think is like the third worst item. Hang on, let me look at this list. Yeah, so if you did it and you got the ammonia, that's basically like you scraped by. If you did it and you got the wisdom seed, you did scrape by again. Got it and get the wisdom fruit like me, you did all right. After that, you can get the sage's frock, which is pretty good. You can get a Barbarossa, which is good. You can get a Lacquer Armor, which is great at this point. And then even better, you can get the Shaman's Ring, which reduces the cost of AP. You know, it's almost made me want to do it again. But fuck that, okay? I am not doing that shit. Anyway, then we have to move on to get the Legendary Mariner. And again, I decided to use a guide because I couldn't figure out where the fuck he was, because I had to drive into a fucking rock. A random rock in the water to get to him. And then we get a mini game, another mini game, where you have to drive tank control boat through some shallow water to find him. And there are items dotted about as well that you can get. I kind of wish I'd have done, I got one, I realized quickly that you could get an item, but you weren't going to get, like, you had a very short space of time. I can't remember even what the reason was for it, but you only had like 20 seconds or some shit to get to the Legendary Mariner. So you had to haul ass to get there, basically. But you could get the items dotting around. But you basically did it per run. So you could only, you could do it a couple of times to get the items, and once you've got the items, go to the mariner. I was just getting a bit low on time, wanted to finish the segment, so I got one item and then I went on and just did the mariner. I wish I'd got all three, because on my legally obtained copy that I'm using on my PlayStation, that I have then connected to the internet via some means and connected up to achievements.com or whatever it is, and via DuckStation, so that I can get achievements for the game. There's an achievement for getting all the items in there. So I wish I could go back and replay that segment and get all the items, because I really want that achievement. But yeah, again, it was a shit minigame. Took me three or four tries to get the hang of it, to get the first item, and then probably three or four more tries to get through to the legendary mariner. Again, tank controls aren't something I struggle with badly, but it was still really difficult, and there wasn't really much time to get around there, to be honest. And yeah, I think all I got was like some sort of shit dagger. Wasn't fucking worth it anyway. But yeah, we finally get there and we find this guy, who's the legendary mariner. He's not actually a mariner. He's just a guy called Kuklus, who he stowed on a ship from the other side of the ocean. And that's it. He was on the black ship, and he came here, and everyone thought he was a legendary mariner. And the bloke talks to birds. He's absolutely mental. All right. Anyway, as it turns out, he says, like, there's probably something wrong with the black ship, which is why it's stuck over here. If you fix it, it will probably autopilot itself back to where it came from. So we're then put with the idea of how to get onto the black ship. And it's basically, we just have to follow it around and ram into its ass. Like, once we ram into it hard enough, you have to get a good head of speed here. You'll crash into the back of it and then basically crash on top of it, and then you can go through it. And I really enjoyed this segment. There was lots of fun things to do here, okay? You had to pick up some ID cards. There was a big crane where you could lift up and drop blocks. And if you drop the blocks into position, it will create the path so you can get through to the other side. And the thing that I liked most about that was the fact that there was always a block left at the end, which you could then smash. So you could then smash all the blocks. If you wanted to, you could come back in here, reset the room and smash all the blocks, and then you could get extra items out of it. Didn't do it. I only did two blocks, and I was like, this is a waste of time. But yeah, really, really fun. I really enjoyed going through here. There was like things where there was like platforms that were moving up and down and shit. Just great. Absolutely great. Really enjoyed it. The bit I didn't enjoy so much was the counting game that they added. Get another funky ass mini game. So there was basically Momo like turns the boat on, and then there's a counter. I think the boost counter, is it? And there's a room like two floors down, which has the boost counter in it. And I can't even remember if you had to push the button in there or something, but you had to basically go down there. That will tell you the boost counter, and you could see it counting up about 38. And then I think there was a noise that went with it as well. So again, another noise-based minigame. Then it would go 39, 50, or 51, 52. You know, just it would count. Then you had to kind of get the timing in your head. And then you had to run back to Momo while counting, because the counter would disappear. And you had to keep counting in your head. And then once you reach 100, you had to then speak to Momo. Right on the moment where it goes 100. Second too early, second too late, you're going to foul. Okay, I fouled the first time because I didn't quite get it right, but I got it the second time. I think I finally understood the mechanic properly the second time. It's like, great. And then, yeah, it starts up, and then you have to go basically kick Zig off. You have to help him get back in the water before the black ship starts sailing across the sea. And then you get this cool little scene where everyone's kind of just sitting on the boat, really bored. And then you get attacked as well, but you have to go out on to the upper deck levels and fight these two weird giant squid-like ladybird kraken things. I don't know what to call them. Again, not too difficult, to be honest with you. They went down quite easy. And then, yeah, you finally get to the other side, and you get to a really weird town filled with robots and people who don't really speak much. Again, I was very confused as to what was going on here. But there was basically just nothing to do here, really. Like, absolutely nothing. So I went on to the next area, which was Steel Grove. Now, on the way to Steel Grove, I think there was the trance gene by the Agrasil tree. You know, I just like to point out the fact that there are every time there's a gene to pick up. So I did pick up a gene here, which is nice. And then we had the thing, what was Steel Grove? Is that the one where you had to jump through? Yeah, that was the one where you had to jump through the city. That took me ages. No, that was Colony, wasn't it? No, Steel Grove was just a little shitty thing that you had to walk through. Yeah, yeah. Steel Grove was nothing. That's it. I remember now. Right, Steel Grove was just an area you had to walk through. And it was just a couple of items dotted about. It wasn't particularly anything major. But the next area, again, there was a gene here. This was where we reached the Colony. And so I did the Colony bit. So I'm just going to talk about it now, just so it's out of my head. Okay. So I reached Colony. I walked around. There's like a big satellite thing on top of it. And then you can find your way through little areas. It took me a good while to realize what I was missing. Okay. I found this like failure gene and a few other things dotted around. But there's a particular point on the top where there's like, I can almost like describe it as a brown smudge. Okay. And under the smudge is like what looks like the top of a conservatory window. It's just like this sort of purpley glass effect. Took me a good 20 minutes to realize I had to jump down that and through there to get into the next bit. Yeah, it's just like, oh man, why? Why is the thing? And then that's where I left it. I think I got into that room, I saved my game, and I think I stopped there. Because yeah, I'd kind of reached Colony. I was kind of just walking around. I thought, when I walked in there, there was like this, it looked very alien. Compared to the rest of the world, I mean. Stuff was like spinning around and I was just like, oh, okay, I'm definitely going to stop here. So I don't really know what happens next, but I soon will. So my next goal, or your goal, people, is to complete the game, which should have been done yesterday. Yes, everyone should have completed the game yesterday. For myself, I am going to be reaching the Oasis by the 6th. My next goal is to reach the Oasis so I can review it for you next week, and then I'm going to finish the game so I can then do that, and then I'll get my reviews together. Oh yes, and of course we can't forget the feedback for Breath of Fire 3 Segment 5. So, first up we have Colin. That's right, our resident lesser demon lord Colin, also known as Saga Jeebus. Yes, the king of all Sabas. Sabas? Sagas. I need a saga. All I can say about Segment 5 is minigames, as the plot points are bad. The rest of the game is great. Is it though? Is it? Anyway, Skelly, the Skelly of Skeleton Hylix, says, too many minigames. The black ship part was cool. Too many minigames. I felt like the plot didn't really move forward much. Just a lot to figure out how to cross the ocean. Too many minigames. Haul the wreckage. Haul the wreckage part, scavenger hunt, make the fish snack, which included fishing, hauling up water, boat obstacle course, ram the black ship from behind, crane game, run away from the angry octopuses. I didn't get that runaway thing. I just got into a fight with them when they're not looking. I mean, I think I got them all. Too many minigames. No, you missed the vinegar and in the well. But close. Very, very good, Skelly. Marn comes in and says, this segment was absolutely brutal, but it gets totally redeemed by the best fishing segment of the game and the spanner rod. What? There's a spanner rod? Did I miss this? There was very little story in this segment, but I did have a ton of additional world-building elements. Mankind used to have the knowledge to cross the ocean, but somehow lost it. Where are all these robots coming from? Why is the other side of the ocean so desolate? It's like a nuke went off or something over here. Urkrun legends say that the dragons once tried to destroy the world. Is this proof of that or somehow related? ? Deesa comes in with a lovely long bit. Deesa's finished this game, by the way, and has given it a rather interesting rating, shall we say. Makes me worried to do the next couple of segments. I went into this segment quite optimistic, really thinking that we're getting acquainted now. We're understanding each other. Of course, that's when the game decided to hit me with something new. A new minigame every 10 minutes. Well, depending on the time to finish the last one. 75 hours? Jesus, man. I think I'm on like 30-something. 15 of them spent on this segment. I think none of them are very interesting. This segment was a drag, I won't lie. This game is basking in okayness. The splice gene idea is cool, yeah. Actually, many ideas are cool. Masters? Cool. Only issue is it's too much of a hassle to remember where they are and get back to them ends up not being much used. Use of different characters to solve issues. Cool, only you have to leave the dungeon to change characters. This game is annoying, is that annoying friend that just gradually wears you down by taking advantage of you in small ways until you say, hey, enough is enough. Only we don't get to do that here, of course, because it's a list game and an RPG club game, so we have to play it. Aerobi. He's changed his name to Boff3 is bottom tier Aerobi. This is the section of the game that just put Breath of Fire 3 bottom to the rankings. I would rather jump rope 1,000 times or dodge lightning. No. There is no need to ever dodge lightning 200 times, all right? I don't care how annoying and frustrating these minigames may get or become or are to people. It is never as bad as having to dodge 200 lightning strikes in Final Fantasy X. That is possibly the worst minigame in existence, all right? Answers on a postcard, please. I want everyone to send me your feedback in the feedback and questions segment on the Discord or on Twitter at Botanica or at RPG Years. I want you to tell me the worst minigames in RPGs and I want to see if there's anything that's actually worse, okay, than the fucking 200 lightning strikes. Fucking that thing is nonsense. Anyway, back to Aerobi, sorry. This game hasn't earned the right to have this many minigames, especially back-to-back, especially gathering the ingredients to feed this guy fish. I do like the story beats and the colony, but the minigames dominated this section have removed me from caring about this game. Okay, we've got some feedback from Caslo now.
Minigame mayhem! This section obviously had entirely too many minigames. The worst of which was probably hunting for parts to repair the ship, or making Shishu. For the life of me, I could not find the last missing part to repair the boat, even when trying to follow a guide. I eventually found it by literally just clicking on every possible square in the lower part of the freighter. Meanwhile, Shishu sucked for me because I'm just not a fan of the fishing in this game. And plus, I went to the wrong fishing spot to hunt mackerel, which led to a lot of wasted time. But other than that, the minigames usually only took 2 to 3 attempts to accomplish. But with that said, outside of the minigames, this was a rather short section, my own time clocking in at about 3.5 hours, that only really accomplished one thing, crossing the ocean. At least the northern continent has some mystery going on with its seemingly advanced technology. The mandatory campfire scene also was intriguing, as I was wondering if something was causing the party members to face their own fears, that there was something wanting them to go back to their old lives instead of pressing forward. I also appreciated that the camp screen changes to reflect the wasteland of the landscape. Now to prepare for the part of the game that caused me to never finish it in the first place. The Desert of Death. We're in for a trip next time.
Hey, I did not notice that the camping scene changes in the background. That's pretty cool. Thanks, Kaz. I'll keep an eye out for that in future. And again, the minigames, they weren't awful. I hated the wreckage one, trying to pull in the wreckage with Gar. And the sushi one was just, the clues just weren't there for me to make it obvious of where I had to go, so I'd look it up in the guide. But otherwise, yeah, I didn't have too much of a problem with it. Now, Realness, who you may remember, who does the music for our intro with the bunny girls and stuff. He says he's just finished Shin Megami Tensei 2. Now I can start Breath of Fire 3. When's it due? I wouldn't be surprised if he's finished it already. But yes. Welcome in, Realness. Come along for the ride. Frost gives some valuable feedback, as in, why do crabs have death magic? And I said, have you ever had crabs? Because, yeah, I haven't. But my friend had, and it was really itchy. And then the rest of the thing just turns into a chat. Chatting in my feedback channels on Discord. Come on, people. You know better than this. The Discord chat rooms for the feedback are not for chatting. They are feedback. Naughty, naughty people. Now, I'm surprised here. We only got one audio feedback. Jay, you still playing along? Jay, you still here? Please. I think who else? Calderanus? We've lost Calderanus. It's just like, come on, people. Come on. We're going to finish this all together. Well, I know a lot of you have already finished and well ahead of me. But yes, we are going to finish this together. Anyway, I digress. Thank you, everyone, for your feedback. Let's move on. So that brings an end to this week's RPG Club. Yes, Reach, welcome back, everybody. So let's talk about it, right? So obviously the next segment for the show is going to be Reach Oasis, which was originally due to be done by the 6th of August. For everyone else, finished the game the 20th of August, which when I released this episode would have been yesterday. You know, I've still got a couple of days left on that one myself. I am also working on, again, Skies of Arcadia. I need to get that. I need to put that plan together for everyone so you all know what's going on. We will then be getting ourselves geared up for the next RPG Club, although I will be taking a little break for a couple of weeks from club duties. You could say I've just done that. But yes, I'll want to finish the review for Chrono Cross with Scott. I also need to get the review together for Final Fantasy XII and then prep the review for Breath of Fire 3, plus playing the 7th Saga and all that goodness. You see what I mean, people? Sometimes it feels overwhelming. There's a lot going on. And I've probably, you know, I'm a glutton for punishment. I've added the Skies of Arcadia to my bag when I probably shouldn't have done. But I don't fucking care. I really want to play Skies of Arcadia. And so do the patrons. So we're going to play it. That's my rule now. If I want to do it, I'm doing it. But anyway, yeah, so we're going to play all those games together. It's going to be fun. If you love the show, you want to reach out and help us, please give us a rating, give us a review on any podcatching apps you happen to be using, whether it's Audible, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever it is, give us a 5-star and give us a like. Also, YouTube. Yes, I keep updating the YouTube stuff, so keep an eye on that closely, everybody. And if you want to reach out to the show and speak to me directly, you can contact me at Matanica on Twitter or X, whatever it's called now. And if you could contact the show at RPG Years. You can also contact us via email if you wish to at rpgafteryears@gmail.com. And of course, the best place to come and chat and join with everybody is on the Discord. Links are in the show notes below, or you can go to the website probablywork.com/RPGYears, and everything you want in life or in the universe and everything will be there for you waiting to make you happy and content with your own life. Anyway, guys, I hope you've enjoyed the show. I'll speak to you all next week. More RPG Club. RPG Club coming thick and fast. Love you all. Bye.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.